He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
This is a hit the Supremes had after Diana Ross left. Bad Weather. And it is bad weather looking up the Empire State Building. Good morning, everybody. 7 minutes after 10 o'clock. Geraldo here along with Noam Layden. The Empire State Building barely visible through snow being driven by north wind. Not blizzard. Actually, it wasn't even unpleasant. I mean, relative to this extremely unpleasant season we've been experiencing. Drove myself to work today. You know, car services are so horribly unreliable. As soon as you get any moisture at all, they don't show. They're late, this, that, the other thing. Fifth Avenue was beautiful. There wasn't any accumulation yet. And I look down right now, down 7th Avenue here in Midtown from our perch high above Madison Square Garden. Still no big snow or ice accumulations on the main avenue. A little starting to stick on the side here, the side streets, 33rd Street, where we're located. Bill Evans, the crack meteorologist, for WABC Television Eyewitness News, joining us right now. So Bill, welcome. So what about this? Is it going to stick, first of all?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And it's beginning to stick in a lot of places. Particularly, you get outside, you know, the heat island effect of Manhattan. You know, the steam pipes and everything under the streets and all that. It's always later in the city for accumulation. But where it has accumulated, I mean, they've already closed Central Park. So it's accumulated 3 inches in the park so far. And it looks like we're going to be close to the upper end of 8. And actually, Geraldo, we might, you know, in spots, it might even break that, the way the system's.
You said working. Eight?
Eight inches of snow. Yeah, we were looking at 4 to 8. And so I think we're going to get to that upper number in a lot of spots here because it's gotten a lot colder. We expected the temperature this hour on the guidance and everything to be at 30. It's already dropped to 26. So that's more, you know, cold, which takes us moisture and makes more snow out of it.
Two quick questions, Bill. Number one, what is the, you know, you got wind now. What makes a blizzard?
Well, a blizzard is a wind of 30 to 35 miles.
Oh, so we're not nowhere near that.
No, nowhere near a blizzard. So you don't even have to have snow falling to have a blizzard. It's just the wind and the blowing snow. But for this, we're just going to have accumulating heavy, wet snow. It's going to be heavy to shovel. You know, it's kind of heavy to push around. And it's kind of like the most not fun snow because it really does slush up everything, roads and sidewalks and all that kind of stuff. And this is going to go on all day.
You know, one other thing. My second question was that whole, you know, steam pipe effect. Is that really what keeps the streets clean, the subways and the pipes and the steam pipes and all that?
All the stuff under the streets here in Manhattan, you know, our electrical stuff is underneath the streets. The concrete, the buildings, they hold heat. Longer, and so, you know, those things warm up, and that's why it looks like it takes so long for snow to accumulate in the city. And especially after we had rain yesterday in 45 degrees, you know, that's another part of it. Had the sidewalks and streets been frozen, you know, with this 20-degree weather we've been having, the snow accumulates easily. So steam pipes and then the rain from yesterday really hasn't allowed it.
And when does this one stop? When do we be out of this? When will we see clear skies?
I don't think we're out of it until we get to the good part of the evening commute. I think 5, 6 o'clock tonight.
Oh, it's going
to
be a mess.
It starts to taper off. So it's going to be all day.
All right, Bill Evans, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So Bill says it's going to be a mess through rush hour. No, what's traffic like right now?
Well, it's slowing to a crawl. Here's the issue. Last night, normally they would treat the roads ahead of time of a storm, but it was so warm last night and salt supplies. There's a shortage in salt supplies at many of these towns across the tri-state. They just don't have it, and they don't want to waste it. So they thought, if we put the salt out last night when it's soggy, it's not going to do anything. So the roads weren't pre-treated. So you're having maybe a little bit more of a mess on the side streets, even some main roadways, than you would on a normal snowstorm.
You know, I drove myself to work during one of the storms last year, and I got in that accident, and I rear-ended that cab right in front of the public library. I'm thinking now maybe it wasn't such a good idea to take the car. I could have taken the subway. The pain in the ass. Oh, sorry.
But
The, you know, you take the Lexington from where I live. You got to hike to the train, first of all, which is it's just a half a mile or so. But then you got to change, and to get out of the west side is such a pain in the butt. It's the bicycle is the way, but you just can't take the bicycle right now.
Not in the snow, no.
All right, so traffic this evening is going to be...
It's going to be a lot worse as the day goes on. You know, usually they wait until a couple inches fall until they start doing any plowing, and so the plowing's beginning right now in a lot of places.
The buses had chains on this morning.
Yeah, so it's going to... When we leave today, it'll be almost at its worst at noon today.
All right, enough about all this... And all the sorrows we've been having here on the show lately, all the heartache, all the conflict over how we deal with all these great issues of the day. So today, at the bottom of the hour, at 10:30, we're going to address the very crucial question, ladies and gentlemen, of whether penis size matters to lovers. Is it the size of the boat or the motion of the ocean? And one of the things I heard our guest... Dr. Morgenthaler, he's going to come on at 10:30, and plus some of the ladies in the office are going to be coming around. We're going to ask them, is how Viagra has changed the game, because I really think that it has unsettled the traditional, you know, sequence of one generation replacing the other. And so everybody asks themselves, how do you size up? So we're going to get to that. So before I do, though, I have to get one thing off my chest. Excuse me a second. I reported earlier this week that the city had experienced an uptick in murders and shootings in February. And that was shocking to me because we had those 12 days in the short month, the 28-day month, when we had no murders at all. And still, by the time the month was over, we had a substantial uptick from year to date in shootings and homicides. And so we've been watching it. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, that I have been a firm supporter of cops and stop and frisk and aggressive policing. My colleague Noam has been critical somewhat, and I'll let him speak for himself. But right now, with this uptick, what the cops are saying, I'm just telling you what the cops are saying, that this spike in violence in the city, shootings and murder, are obviously related and remember, this is the best time for crime. I mean, the worse the weather, the lower the crime, generally speaking. And the cops are saying, wait until the summer. They think it's related to the artificially cumbersome new restrictions on stop and frisk after the federal judge ruled it unconstitutional. But the police unions now are saying that they're so complicated now, what the cops can do when they see someone that they believe deserves to be patted down. It's so complex that the cops are saying they should be traveling with attorneys because they don't know what they can do and what they can't do. I saw a very good take. I mean, everybody's writing about it, but Sean Cohen and Bruce Golding in the New York Post today had a very good summary of these new regulations and the restrictions on stop and frisk. For example, a cop can no longer stop someone because they meet a generalized description of a crime suspect. For example, the perpetrator of the bodega stick-up was an 18 to 25-year-old black man. You can't use that anymore to justify stopping people who are 18 to 25-year-old black men. It's way too generalized a description. You know, if you say he had a red shirt on, wearing an orange jumpsuit, plaid shorts, I guess that's more of a justification. But the generalized description is no longer justification for stop and frisk, nor can you use furtive movements. You know, it looked like the guy was putting his hand in his pants, or he looked like he put his arm under his jacket, or it looked like he was getting rid of something. You can't use the furtive movement, and you can't use hanging around in a notorious high crime area as a reason for prompting stop and frisk. For example, under CompStat, you know how that works. You have, the corner of 42nd and 7th, I'll make it up. There were 8 murders the course of the year. The CompStat put cops where crime was. But you can't use hanging around 42nd Street and 7th Avenue, for example, anymore as a reason for stopping someone and frisking them. And then when it comes to the actual search itself, you can't go in the pocket anymore. That's where all those kids were getting busted on reefer. They put the hand in the pocket and, what's this? Now you can pat it on the outside only. A pat down has to be of the outer clothing only to determine whether or not the suspect has a weapon. So you can go from the outside. So I'm telling you, man, I think that this is way too restrictive. I understand, obviously, and we've debated it and talked about it, how onerous it is and why we don't want black and brown kids from high crime areas to bite the bullet, so to speak, to sacrifice their constitutional rights so the city can be safe, generally speaking, from perpetrators coming from that general demographic, at least. But I think that now we've gone too far the other way. What do you think?
You know, so it's stop and frisk, right? And the frisk part is really the part that people had problems with. It wasn't the stopping part.
Oh, yeah, the stopping part.
And if
also,
you look at the crime stats, right, it's been a year now since Shira Shineland's ruling, right?
Right.
So, and we've seen spikes when? Last summer we saw a spike, and now we're seeing a weird spike in the wintertime. But can't we give it a little more time to see how it's played out?
So no,
overall,
I'm
the numbers
okay
have been
that.
Down.
I'm okay with that, but I caution everybody. And I promise everybody that we are watching this with eagle eyes. And if we see a trend, and Commissioner Bratton says there's not a trend, and Mayor de Blasio says there's not a trend, if we see a trend, we will report it and respond accordingly, because the city has come too far in terms of our evolution from the crime-riddled crap hole that we all lived in the 70s to where we are, the safest big city on earth, to lose that significant improvement in the quality of life, particularly in the inner city, because of Judge Shineland's ruling. We will not abide that. I mean, I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I'm hoping that the good news that Noam relates.
Well, if you break down the numbers, if you break down the murders and the shooting numbers and look and see how many of them are domestic as opposed to drug deals gone wrong, robberies, killings, I bet you that the numbers are not a whole lot different than they normally are.
Well,
I bet you the domestics are just as high as they always are.
I think that's different. Whether a husband kills a wife or a wife kills a husband, I don't think you can ever improve that other than, putting some parole officer in every family. Anyway, 19 minutes after, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, and then we're going to get to the topic du jour. I tell you, after all the bitter controversy we've had, Israel, Iran, Bibi, Congress, Ferguson, Obamacare, ISIS, it's time for a little penis size.
Sounds good. All right.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
On a messy, snowy day, the wind blowing, traffic slowing. We're talking about, does size matter? It's funny. During the commercial break, Craig Schwab, our ace programming director, came in and said, and he seldom does. He gives excellent guidance from time to time, but he's not the kind of nervous Nelly that intervenes in the production of the program, generally speaking. He came in just now in the commercial break, though, Noam, and he cautioned us about getting too graphic in this, even though it's Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler and his seminal work.
And he's a doctor.
The Truth About Men and Sex. He said, let's not get too graphic. But does size matter? I mean, that's a fair question. And, you know, the other thing is, men are always checking each other out. You notice that? I mean, it used to be. I mean, now people are so cautious. I mean, when I was in high school, I mean, people just walked around in the locker room just, you know,
naked,
swinging in the breeze.
Right.
There. But nowadays, I think with all of the social media and all the cameras, everybody's got an iPhone, a BlackBerry, Android, whatever they've got, they all have those cameras on them. I think that's why men have become more cautious somewhat. But I think that it is something that preoccupies lots of people. And I really do think, and I'm going to ask the doctor this, and it's, I guess it's fun not to be talking about Bibi and Congress and Ferguson and Obamacare and Iran and Israel and all the rest of that. But Viagra, yes, Marty.
Well, we got a lot of calls. People were so surprised that you would walk around the locker room with no clothes on. It was shocking to them.
Really. Yeah, I'm totally shocking, yeah.
But I think, I really believe that when the history of this period is written, the so-called erectile dysfunction drugs will be looked at as the most, you know, we talk about how Uber is disruptive. It disrupted the taxicab limousine business. Facebook some of these other Google, how they totally changed society. I think these ED drugs, first of all, to claim that they are a medical remedy to a malady is such a farce. It is just to get insurance coverage. These drugs, and Hugh Hefner said it best when they first came out in 1999, when he said to not consider these drugs sex drugs is absolutely artificial, because that's what they are. I mean, in the same way Quaaludes were, or ecstasy, or any of these other kind of euphoria-inducing sexy kinds of drugs. In the same way, these ED drugs, just think of all of the generations who've gone to, if they could afford it, psychiatrists and psychologists. Oh, yeah. I can't get it up. Right. You know, what's wrong with me? It must be something in my head. And it turns out these drugs release this blood flow, and all of a sudden you have no, you lead in your pencil all of a sudden, and it's not
until you're older person. So you can see these people have the highest rate of STDs are in these senior citizen centers in Florida. And you have to think that has to do with Viagra, because before 30 years ago, people wouldn't have been able to get it up. Now they can.
But how funny is it that the highest rate of STD
is down in Southern Florida,
is in the fountains or whatever they call that place. Does size matter? And other questions like that. Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler will be joining us, and so will some of the ladies of 77 WABC.
Really?
Our family,
right.
PLJ 103.9. We're going to get a little bit from everybody.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
All right, then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Salt and pepper. Bill, are you there in Brooklyn? Hello, Bill.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Yeah, I don't know. How you doing? I grew up in Brooklyn in the 60s, and I never grew up, but I'm 71 now, and I went to New York High School in the 60s. And in our swimming period, the guys never swam with the girls. We couldn't wear bathing suits. We had to swim naked. We thought nothing of it. We did a lot of things naked. We went to Raven Hall Pool. There was a whole club of old guys completely naked eating. Now everybody's too sensitive. I don't know.
Now they think you're a perv if you do something like that. But I appreciate
it. I don't know if that was all about swimming naked.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I love the freedom. I love the freedom. It's just that everybody's so uptight now. But the man who knows about being preoccupied, envious, whatever it is. How has porno? I mean, my God, there's porno everywhere now that you have the internet. The Truth About Men and Sex is the book, Intimate Secrets from the Doctor's Office, and the doctor is in. Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler joins us. How you doing, Doc?
Good. Great to be with you.
So I saw you on CBS this morning, yesterday. You were terrific, and it was interesting to see, you know, that kind of straight crew being shy almost. And is that what people are? Do they get all boyish and girlish when they talk about these things?
You know what? Sex is really a funny topic, because everybody thinks about it. Most of us do it. It's a part of who we are as animals, as human beings. And we think we're so clever about it. We've got sexual imagery everywhere. Everybody has access to porn on the internet. They've seen stuff. It's in movies. And the truth is that we know almost nothing about it, and it makes us still incredibly uncomfortable.
Do you think that, I believe that sex and how you feel about your sex life influences how you feel about life generally. I am confident that part of my swagger is related to that. And consequently, I also believe that people who are who feel dissatisfied can be more gloomy. I don't know if anybody's ever done that survey.
No,
what
but
do
listen,
you think?
You're exactly right. So, you know, I wrote this book, you know, The Truth About Men and Sex, because I've been dealing with men behind closed doors for 25 years, thousands of patients. And what I discovered is that men behind what they say and how they act and what they tell you about their feelings and their thoughts behind closed doors is completely different from, you know, how we present ourselves. And the truth is that men deal with a lot of sexual difficulties, not just insecurities, but there's a lot of erectile dysfunction out there, a lot of premature ejaculation, men who have problems with desire and ability to have an orgasm. And exactly what you say is right, is that when a man is feeling well about himself sexually, he feels well about himself in general. It carries through to his work life, to his relationships, even to his golf game.
All right, now let me deal with all those things you know, interesting about golf. I suck at golf, but I'm good at life.
Well, you may be the exception.
All right. In terms of what is making headlines here with your book, I really have not thought about it. I don't know how many years. Now, penis size and, you know, what is average, what is normal, quote unquote. You've done this. I mean, there's this survey. I don't know, 15,000 people participated. I mean, first of all, what was the method of getting this data and what is your finding?
So this wasn't my study, but this was a recently reported study that really pulled together 17 different publications over the years where people have studied. The guys came in and they had their penises measured, erect and flaccid, and they put together all the data and they created what we call a nomogram, one of these charts that you might see, like for if you have kids, you know, these growth charts, and you can see where you fit on the percentile scale. And so to some extent, the information wasn't completely new, but it's the most definitive. And I think what your listeners really want to hear is
where we fit in.
Right. So men really are, I like to use the term penocentric. Like we think that our penis explains everything. Our sense of masculinity, our sort of standing, how we stack up. And so the average, now, for some, that's not new information, but it's sort of now, I think, pretty well established.
No, I was checking myself out last night.
You were measuring yourself?
I was.
I wanted
to see where I fell in on the spectrum, you know.
So where do you fall in the spectrum?
I think it's like shoe size, nose size. That good word. And if you, what about, you know, in your study, the relationship between that, between size and I don't know, gratification or does size matter, I guess? Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, my guest, the author of The Truth About Men and Sex. Go ahead, Doctor. I mean, what is the relationship between size and satisfaction?
Well, not really. You know, it's really important to men, and you'll certainly hear women who say, I prefer, you know, larger rather than smaller. But here's the amazing thing about that study, is that if you look at the difference between men from the 10th percentile, which means 10% or smaller, to the 90th percentile, which means only 10% or larger. So the vast majority of men in the central 80% of the group, if you will, the difference was only an inch and a half. That's very
Oh, from
little.
Big to little, inch and a half.
An inch and a half, which means that men are more similar than they are different.
It's I get
not
you.
To say there aren't variations. But men will then make a big deal out of it. And part of the difficulty that men have, there's a study that I think is so interesting where they surveyed men about a variety of things. And they asked them, one of the questions was, do you think that your size is average, above average, or below average? And 75% of the men thought they were below average.
Really? So that's
smaller.
Impossible.
So here, it's statistically impossible, but here's what it really says. This talks about the psyche of men, is that men are actually, one of the most important things for them is to feel manly, masculine. And one of the ways they do that from early on, teenage years certainly, is by the size of their male organ. And men are vulnerable around this issue, and they are quick to believe that they somehow don't stack up, that they're worried about it. And we see men in the office who come in who are interested in penile enlargement, and on the whole, those men are either average or above average in size.
Wow.
It's a perception issue.
Maybe they want to be porn stars. What about the porno being everywhere? Has that changed habits?
Yeah, so listen, the difficulty with porn is that, you know, there are these freaks of nature, if I can call them that. I mean, you know, men who are, like, ridiculously large, and these teenage boys or young adult boys check it out, and they think that that's going to be normal, and they don't match up to that.
I get you. And what about Viagra? Has that unsettled the, you know, normal evolutionary progress in life?
So listen, the pills like Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, they've been godsends for men. 52% of men between the ages of 40 and 70 have some degree of erectile dysfunction. That's huge. Because there are a lot of guys out there who are struggling, and these pills really do work, not 100%, but they work in about three-quarters of men. So that's not bad. Like, that's helpful. The really interesting thing, and what I try to get at in my book, The Truth About Men and Sex, is really about the mind of men. And what's interesting to me in that regard is young men who are perfectly functional, who come in, or even middle-aged men, everything's working fine and they want one of these pills. And when you ask them why, they sometimes they're not really sure, but they think they're going to be more sexually appealing. They think that they're going to be better at sex in some way. And the only way that it can help in a young man who has a perfect erection, if we can use that, all it does for them is that it can sometimes, it can't make them firmer, because a man who's 40 plus, there is room usually, even in the best, most fit guy, for a little bit of extra oomph. So does that help? Maybe. But it also can shorten the time until the next session. So, you know, these pills can help, but the question is, why is this good? So everybody thinks that men are all about themselves with sex. And the truth is, that's wrong. Because think about it. If a man's able to have sex, he's having it, he's getting the pleasure, he's getting the ultimate payoff, which is the climax. Why does it matter to him if he's a little bit harder? And the answer is because it's what he feels he's offering as a sexual provider to the partner.
All right. On that note, Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, I have to leave you. The Truth About Men and Sex. We've brought some ladies from our station group in. We're going to be speaking with them about their anonymously about what matters to them in terms of size, etc. Doctor, good luck with The Truth About Men and Sex. 49 minutes after here on 77 WABC. You don't want to miss this.
Operation Stormwatch on 77 WABC.
Still seeing that accident in Westchester County, the Sawmill River Parkway southbound after Sawmill River Road. That's in the right lane. And the cross Westchester Expressway eastbound at the Taconic State Parkway. Another accident here. The Bronx River Parkway southbound after Parkway Homes Road. That accident still there, not cleared yet. And then the LIE westbound off-ramp to the Sactico State Parkway. We've got an accident that actually has the exit ramp completely shut down. And the Queensboro Bridge, new one here. It's on the Queensbound lower level at mid-span. Stalled vehicle, that one's in the right lane. The New Jersey Turnpike Western Spur northbound after the George Washington Bridge toll plaza. We've got a crash in the right lane here. And the Palisades Parkway northbound after Inglewood Cliffs. Another accident. And on the New Jersey Turnpike Western Spur ramp to southbound Route 3. That's still partially blocked by that jackknife tractor trailer. But the detour has been lifted in Mahwah on 287 northbound near Route 17. That jackknife tractor trailer starting to straighten out. Now just blocking off the right lane. And checking out the rails. Still seeing those weather-related power problems in the Park Avenue Tunnel, and that has the Hudson and New Haven Metro North trains continuing to run with delays of 20 to 30 minutes in and out of Grand Central. But regular Amtrak service has resumed into and out of Penn Station after some overhead wire issues earlier this morning. Just expect some residual delays from this. And the New Jersey Transit is going to be cross-honoring today. Checking the forecast from Channel 7's Bill Evans, snowing 26 degrees this afternoon, highs at 31. Tonight, temperatures drop down to 15, and then tomorrow, tomorrow. Still freezing cold, 27 for the high. Our next report in about 15 minutes. Angela Chase, right now traffic on 77 WABC.
If you haven't been watching The Jinx, you've been missing a great show on HBO. It's a great groundbreaking series. It keeps getting better. The Jinx, it highlights this nutjob, Robert Durst, the billionaire New Yorker connected to three murders over the past 30 years. On Sunday, we entered the courtroom to watch his dramatic testimony while on trial for the murder and dismemberment of his best friend. And if you missed it, the shocking admission he made to the jury right before the final verdict. If you thought the last episode was good, wait until the truth finally comes out. Noman, I love the show, The Jinx, the life and deaths of Robert Durst. Don't miss the final two episodes, Sundays at 8 p.m. only on HBO.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it, Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Crash just warned me not to take any selfies. The truth about men and sex, we have been discussing with the author, Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, but now we've brought three beautiful ladies in from our station group here, our Cumulus station group. The first, a beautiful blonde, we promised anonymity. So, does size matter? I mean, tell me true. I mean, it's not irrelevant.
No, Geraldo, it definitely isn't irrelevant. And women definitely think about that and make comments about it.
And do you talk amongst yourselves about penis size?
On occasion, yes.
And so what, like what? What would you say? Oh, man, that guy is hung. What do you say?
No, we wouldn't exactly say that. We would just say he got the job done, if you will.
Uh-huh. And do you, like, you're unmarried, right? So what do you say to your boyfriend, or if anything? I mean, is he preoccupied with it?
No, he's very secure, and he gets the job done.
Oh, yes. All right, our next lady, you look like a Latina. No? Anyway, whatever. You have a nice tan. So tell us about penis size in your young age group.
A lot with the pleasure of a female. I do think it's not necessarily how big you are, but the width also has a lot to do with
and,
it.
And what about the motion?
Yeah, you have to have motion. You have to know what you're doing.
and so should a man with a smaller member be less secure? I mean, could he have the same chance with you, for instance?
I mean, he possibly can. It just really depends on if he knows, you know, how to please a woman, how to please me, kind of thing. You have to use different techniques, not the standard.
Okay, well, more on this after this.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
The truth about men and sex. The new bombshell by Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler is what we're talking about for the next couple of minutes. Intimate secrets. In the doctor's office, he's talking about everything from the average size of penises to how Viagra and similar drugs have changed the world. Three of the ladies of our station group have agreed graciously, anonymously, to talk to us about, you know, whether size matters, whether it's the size of the boat or the motion of the ocean. We spoke to the pretty blonde white lady. I thought she was Latina. She's actually a mixed race, beautiful. Light brown lady, a very light brown, now a brunette lady, another white lady in her 20s. What about Viagra? Is that part of your life?
It's not a part of my personal life, but I have known other men that require that medication.
And what do you think about men that use that? Does that diminish them to you?
I think at my age, since I am in the mid to late 20s, I think at my age, women would look down on that slightly if our man in our life has to use that at this point. But in general, as a whole, I would say that I don't look down on it if a man in his later years needs to use that assistance.
And what about size, generally speaking, in yours?
In my life, I have been also quite satisfied with my situation. But I would say that, yes, I mean, size, it is a It is a conversation piece between women.
When you think about boyfriends past or whatever, I mean, do you remember them in relation to that? Is that a relevant part of the memory?
If it's small, then yes, it's definitely memorable.
And in what sense?
It's in the sense that when you compare it to upcoming men to come in your future, then yes, you can definitely go back and say that one wasn't quite as
I remember
appealing.
Shorty.
Yeah, exactly.
And what about, and I have this one for all of you. And I promise, Alicia, we'll get on to the great events of the day. There's a lot of news breaking, but I can't resist this. In terms of, you know, who you are going to be with in the future. I mean, what relationship is there between that and penis size?
In my personal experience, the penis size wasn't a determining factor in my situation. I am married. I'm happily married and I'm very satisfied with my situation.
Okay. And was that part of the equation?
I fell in love with him in all aspects. So, I mean, yes, it was considered.
and when I asked you before, going back to our beautiful mixed race young lady, I mean, are you barely 21?
No, I'm 27.
27. Oh, you look younger. So is this, you know, should men be worried if they are not more generously endowed? I mean, do men, are they self-conscious?
I think they're self-conscious if they're a smaller size. But, you know, as mentioned before, you really have to, I guess you have to put in more work if you have a smaller size.
The man or the woman?
No,
or
the man.
The man has to.
Very nice.
Yes.
He has to stay busy other ways.
Yes, he has to make sure, he has to put in the work.
And I guess this is the bottom line. Are men preoccupied? Do you think that, are women similarly preoccupied about some of their endowments?
We are, I believe so. I mean, I also think that it just also depends. I mean, if you're smaller, you're going to have to do more. But then again, a woman won't feel the same if they can't, you know, please the woman. So they're going to feel maybe it's something with them. Maybe they're not attractive enough or they're not this or that. So I feel like if you're well in size, you're confident, he's confident, everyone's all the way around. But if you're smaller, you have to, you know.
Now, you're a tall woman, I noticed. Does that affect anything?
No, I haven't had a problem.
Okay. And if you discovered that your fellow was using Viagra, would that diminish him to you?
No, it absolutely would not.
And so would you, like, go shopping for the little blue pill together, or?
Of course, why not?
All right, ladies, I want to thank you all, ladies. I think we've taken this as far as we can go, but I appreciate you coming in. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No, and yeah, are you blushing?
Oh, this is my favorite topic, let me tell you.
Come in more often. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I do.
All right. I said that there is other news that I have to get to. But let me just give you a heads up. There are two, and I'm going from penis size, but really that's about life. Now I want to get to death, because the death is in the news, in the sense of the death penalty, at 11:30 in about 17 minutes. For example, we will learn whether or not Jodi Arias, remember Jodi Arias, that the Arizona woman, a relatively attractive woman who was convicted of murder of her boyfriend, or her the man who left her, Travis Alexander. There were all kinds of relationship issues that were brought up in a very tawdry court case. Jodi Arias will find out at 11:30 Eastern time, just at about 17 minutes, and we'll carry that live, whether or not she will be facing the death penalty, which I think is absolutely preposterous. I really do. I think to put this woman to death is, I don't know what good will be served by killing her. You know, let her serve the rest of her life in prison. I similarly, and you know, that's not even a close call for me, although when I go on social media and I let people know how I feel about it, I get the most vicious, you know, response. It's almost like when you talk about, you know, Israel, you get this vicious response that people don't agree with you. It's the same thing with the death penalty, particularly with Jodi Arias. My God, I said spare her life, and it was mostly women. It was interesting, Noam, how mostly women wanted her killed. The other death sentence, which I think is inappropriate, and this one might be more controversial to you folks listening here on 77 WABC. I do not believe that this young terrorist involved in the Boston Marathon bombing should be put to death either if convicted. He will surely be convicted because his lawyer shocked everybody by admitting that her client, in her opening statement, she said her client was responsible for the attack. But, and this is her argument, and this was my argument right from the get-go in the Boston Marathon bombing. There were two brothers, one much older than the other. The older brother was killed in the shootouts with the cops. The younger brother is the one now facing the death penalty. I think clearly, Noam, that this kid was brought and dragged into this thing by his older brother, who was very dominant. He was kind of a yes man. I don't see what good is served by this kid being executed either. I am certain he'll be convicted of mass murder. But I mean, to put him to death, I don't know what Boston Strong or society generally gains from it.
Well, you know, when you see the picture of that 8-year-old who was killed in the blast and you think about that, then you say, well, there's a lot of people who might side with having him killed. They might feel better afterwards.
Well, I get that, but I wonder if you feel better afterwards. Right now, I'm working on this special for Fox News that will air on March 21st. About the it's about Scott Peterson. Remember Scott Peterson? 10 years ago, exactly on the date the special airs, he was condemned to die for killing his wife, his pregnant wife Lacey, and their unborn child. And the reason the hook the state of California used to impose the death penalty, which they impose very rarely, relatively, or they may impose it a lot, but they never use it. They never actually do it. Was the fact that he killed the unborn child. And so the issue was, that was the aggravating circumstance that allowed the state of California to impose the death penalty. The issue was the unborn child. He wasn't born, so how can you murder him? That's the defense. That's the appeal. That's why he's, still on death row. And how he's living on death row is another issue. I think it's really it's a farce in California. So those are things that we will talk about as we get back to the somber reality. And I hope that at the end of the discussion, you don't pine for the for the debate on penis size.
We could bring the ladies back if you want.
Give me a little comic relief. 16 minutes after 11 o'clock, we'll be right back. 77 WABC.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
Getting some poll results from Israel, how Bibi Netanyahu's speech is being received over there. Remember, he's running for election. The outrageous statement made by Dr. Ben Carson, the neurosurgeon we've interviewed on this program many times, a Fox News contributor, at least he was until he announced for his run for the president. He made some outrageous statements about being gay, being a choice. And he used as his proof that a lot of people go into prison straight, and when they come out, they're gay. Therefore, they must have made the choice to become gay, which outraged me and my friend Bernard Kerik, the former Corrections Department commissioner and New York City Police commissioner, who's become an advocate for prison reform, wrote a stinging column in the New York Times, straight-up ignorance of the system. We welcome the commissioner. How much snow you got out there in Franklin Lakes?
It's about 4 or 5 inches.
We've been talking inches all morning. I won't drag you into that one, Commish. Yeah, but all right. So what about now? Let's get serious. And do you go to prison straight and come out gay?
It's nonsense. I don't know what the guy was thinking. He has already apologized for his statement. I think it was a ludicrous thing to say. And there are so many victims in prison that are victimized. Raped and so forth and so on, like that. It was just a stupid, ludicrous thing for him to say.
You cite some statistics in your column. According to the Bureau of Justice, in 2011, 2012, 3.2% of all people in jails reported being sexually abused, 3.2%. When it comes to the juveniles, though, 9.5%. Now, are these gay encounters or are these rapes?
No, these are predators that go in and sodomize and rape people. You know, listen, jail is a, you know, it's a training ground for thuggery and criminality, and there are predators when you get into the medium and higher classification facilities, and they prey on the weak. That's why his statement was just so bizarre. I was outraged by it.
Now, in terms of these prison rapes, these aren't like gay predators, just a predator who wants to get off, right?
Yeah, just somebody who wants to get off, you know, and then there's robbery, there's extortion, there's rape. There's
what about what happened on Rikers with this, with the prisoners having to save the female correction officer?
Yeah, that was last week, you know, a couple of days ago. There was a piece in the Daily News about it. All the tabloids wrote about it. This guy got into the A post, which is a fixed, secure area, got into that area, grabbed the female officer, was, you know, choking her or holding her, masturbating, and the inmates had to actually, I think they are the ones that actually started to get into the A post to help this this poor woman. And the officers came and got her out of there.
Oh, Ken is hold it. We got a news flash here. Noam, you want to read it?
Yeah, a plane has just skidded off the runway at LaGuardia, crashed into a fence. It's flight 1086, arrived here from Atlanta, and apparently had run into trouble upon landing. We don't have any word on injuries, and we're racing to find out more details as we speak.
As commissioner, how do you handle something like this?
Well, that's, you know, Rikers.
It's right there. Remember, they had a big move. Remember, that really happened. They had a plane crash, and the inmates all helped out.
Yeah. The inmates and the emergency service from Rikers. In this case, the emergency service and the NYPD will get in there, and you know, if it hit that fence line, look, that's an extremely short runway.
I hate that airport. That airport
is
so
really
scary.
A bad place, especially in weather like this, for planes coming in.
So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the uptick in shootings and murders in February after you had that great 12 days where we had no homicides at all. You know, it's hard to believe that the police, the PBA and the Sergeants Benevolent Association are both complaining that about these new restrictions on stop and frisk. Is there, Commissioner Bernard Carrick, a relationship between the hugely reduced stop and frisk and the spike in violence, or do you think we have to wait and see?
No, I think you're going to see, I think it's coming. I think you're going to see it. You know, look, these new rules in stop and frisk, you know, you can't stop somebody that's hanging in a high crime area. So you have plain clothes anti-crime cops that are designated for those areas where there's high crime. But if they're in a high crime area and they make furtive movements, you can't stop them. Oh, okay.
And you can't use the description 18 to 25-year-old black man as a justification or Puerto Rican
generalized
man.
Generalized description. Somebody gives you a description, says, I was just robbed. The guy was 18 to 25. He was a black male or he was an Hispanic male. Whatever the description is, he gives you that description. You cannot now go stop people that fit that description. That's the most bizarre thing I've heard of in law enforcement.
Who's
going to stop?
We have to watch it. We'll watch it. And if there really is a spike in this, if this spike becomes a trend, Commissioner Carrick will join us as we condemn this this mushy approach to law enforcement that doesn't do anybody any good. We want everyone's rights to be protected, everyone to have a fair shake. But let's not be stupid about it. Commissioner, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77 WABC.
As Noam says, we are keeping our eye on the down airliner. No serious injuries reported yet. They're taking the folks off, I guess, 149 passengers from Delta 1086. LaGuardia, though, is closed now. So, my goodness, if you try to fly in and out of LaGuardia, you're screwed, basically. There's not going to be anybody coming off for a while. Got a good shot now. They're coming off. They're walking on the wing. The plane looks like it's banged up, thankfully. There was a fuel leak, I heard, but, Noam, All the way to Grand Central Parkway almost. It skidded all the way, hit that retaining. It's not even a retaining wall. That's a security chain link fence.
Yeah. I mean, it really made it far off the runway. If we're looking at these pictures, the nose is sort of hanging out the other side of this chain link fence. And it looks like people are walking off under their own power.
So their own steam. But yeah. My goodness, he must have touched down pretty late on that runway. Or the wheels could have locked. I guess he could skid like I did in my old Bentley. I mean, it's a scary situation. The plane didn't break, thankfully. But man, oh man, that's a busted up airplane.
You know, we're seeing some of the people who are on board who are tweeting. Actually, one of them is this reality star who continues to tweet, and we're following her. She says, so far it looks like everybody is okay on the plane, but she says she's panicked until she gets off. That was from about 5 minutes ago. Don't know if she's off yet.
Yeah, she must be part of this crowd. They're not running. They're kind of tromping out. I don't know if that WABC shot is live, but they don't seem in panic. And you know what I don't see a whole lot of personnel. You know, it's not like they're massively engaged. I see more of the passengers.
Well, it was 11:09, so actually that's almost a half hour ago.
All right, well, if you know anything, give us a call, 866-HERALDO. Marty, will you please go answer the damn phones? Thank you. 866-HERALDO, if you know anything, if you're seeing anything, let us know. We're also waiting. The fire department has responded. Those personnel are there. So if you know anything, let us know. We are also monitoring the Jody Arias death verdict, whether it's going to be death or not. They have a verdict. Now, under the nomenclature in that particular courtroom, the fact that they have announced they have a verdict does not rule out the possibility that they could again have, as they did the last time, a hung jury, which means that the state would have to start all over again if they insist barbarically, it seems to me, in killing this woman, Jody Arias, the notorious killer of her boyfriend, Travis Alexander. All right. So I mentioned that I want to change the subject. We're going to bring in guns. I want to do an A-Rod report. But before we do, I mentioned before the break that there are two polls from Israel. Two polls taken after Bibi Netanyahu's speech. And you know, the big election there on the 17th of March. So it's just 12 days away now. Bibi did have a modest bump, as expected. You have two polls out. He was trailing slightly in his race for the Knesset seats. You know, the person who gets the most seats basically forms the coalition that forms the government. He was trailing. Now, one poll has him tied, has him picking up two seats from the speech. The other poll has him picking up one seat and having that showing him one seat behind in one of the polls. So it is razor thin, the margin in Israel. Bibi got a modest bump. I would have expected a bigger bump, though.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to remember also, this would be his fourth term if he wins. And so there's a little bit of fatigue factor. And what also is interesting is the way people watch this speech. You know, here there was rap attention to it, much like there was back in Israel. But when you saw what people thought about the actual speech itself afterwards, they didn't give it rave reviews like it got here.
Well, I certainly didn't give it a rave review, but, you know, I'm alone. My friend's very mad at me for my position. I thought that to remind you, so you'd be aggravated at me again. I thought that it was way over the top. I mean, I hate mention of the Holocaust unless it's in the context of that historic wrong or similar genocidal acts. But to invoke the Holocaust and drag out old Elie Wiesel, I think it was very inappropriate. And I really do believe it will leave a lingering animosity between the Obama administration and the Netanyahu administration, assuming that Bibi wins. And we'll see whether or not that will be affected by what the continuing reaction in Israel is to his speech. It is 45 minutes after. We're monitoring all of these breaking news events. We will bring them to you right here on 77 WABC. It's Geraldo along with Noam Layden, and we shall return after this.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
The single heard around the world. Before I get to A-Rod's big moment, the Port Authority's just released a statement. The runways at LaGuardia are currently closed due to the aircraft incident, which occurred about 11 a.m. Travelers with flights scheduled to arrive or depart the airport should check their carriers to determine the status of their flight. In other words, if you're flying in or out of LaGuardia, you are screwed. Guns Gunzelman joins us. We are glad to see A-Rod delivering after a 17-month hiatus. So, Guns, this really, I mean, first of all, how good a whack was it?
It was just over the shortstop's head, so it barely went over. I mean, it seems like the gates of heaven opened if you were reading the newspapers or anything for as much fanfare as this getting. Even ESPN today had something called a feature called Breaking Down A-Rod's First Game Back, where they're looking at every single swing and does he still have it? I mean, I guess they're more infatuated or excited about the fact that a 40-year-old man is able to still swing a baseball bat based on what's going on right here. But
But how did he look? Tell me true.
He looked fit, but how did he look? I mean, he got a walk. He grounded into a fielder's choice, which means a ground ball out, and a single that barely went over the guy's head.
So he didn't even hit a good line drive.
No, absolutely not. And he could have struck out either of the times because the walk, he could have gotten another strike and gone out, and then because it was a full count. So, no, he doesn't look like anything spectacular, or definitely not the fanfare that he's getting right now.
That's Guns Gunzelman giving a very negative take on A-Rod.
Well, he's not juiced anymore, so how's he going to hit when he's not on juice anymore?
That is the joke now. Like, if he hit that single 2008, it would have been in the parking lot outside the Bronx in Yankee Stadium. You know?
But do you really see? To me, juice was always it's not about whether or not your eye makes the bat hit the ball. Yeah. It's how far the ball goes after you hit it.
Absolutely.
So will he now be a singles kind of guy?
I think if even that, and because he's not going to be getting doubles because he's not going to be able to run because he's getting up there in age. And the thing is, right, steroids made somebody cheap for the fact, but they still never let you hit the ball. You still had to be talented enough to hit the ball.
Let me ask you this. I mean, as critical as you are, you reflect, I think, the New York media. And when you look at one of the tabloids particularly, but even the New York Times, but the tabloids especially, like I'm holding the Today's Daily News. And so it starts on page, sports coverage starts on page 40, and it goes all the way to page 60.
Right.
I mean, that's 20 pages of sports news. I mean, to be excellent in sports in New York, you have to withstand scrutiny that even the president doesn't have.
Right, but the thing is, he brought this upon himself. He's the one that lied. He's the one that cheated. He's the one that went after people. He tried ruining people's lives. He sued people all the while knowing that he was guilty. So it's his own fault that he's getting this scrutiny. Look at Derek Jeter. Jeter was always praised, and he had the same media he had to deal with. It's because A-Rod is just an idiot. Like, it's his own fault for he's just not a good person, or he's just... He cares perhaps too much what people think about him that he just had to always perform at this level.
What do you say his average, his batting average is going to be at the end of the season?
Between 240 to 260.
And Noam?
That's not bad, 240. I thought you were going to say a lot lower than that. I actually agree with you, right around there.
He's going to be a designated hitter, and we'll see how well he can do. But, I mean, all praise A-Rod.
And in terms of home runs?
Easily less than 30. I would say less than 20. I don't think he's got it. I really don't think he's got it this year.
Well, Guns Gunzelman, I don't know.
And I'm a diehard Yankee fan.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You just bummed me out, you punk.
Hey, we could always be on that plane,
you're
right?
You're probably one of those little guys that we were talking about before, the truth about medicine.
Oh, I bet he is. Well, I'm going to pull down his pants at the end of the show.
11 inches around.
Guns or A-Rod?
I was talking about guns. But...
Well, they do shrink.
You hear that about steroid use, but it does.
Oh, that's true.
It has a very negative
shrinking
effect. I'm sorry I don't have a serious note that Jody Arias' verdict yet. We'll give it to you.